Today's daf in Masechet Arachin is daf Yud Zayin, and we are holding right at the beginning of the Helek Perek. We start the fourth perek today, Haseg Yad. Haseg Yad refers to a man who is ma'arich and simply doesn't have the money to pay. He's bankrupt. And over there the din is that the Torah gave him an option of being ne'arach by the Kohen. And as long as there's a minimum, as we'll see, of one shekel that he can pay, he's able to cancel that debt. If he can't pay the minimum, or in such a situation and anything other than erechin, at that point, we've already seen the idea that there's no such thing as getting off. You have to pay. You don't have the money, so it remains a debt against you for when you will have money. Now, our perek is interested in defining which of the issues of erechin is defined by which of the individuals, the one who makes the erechin, or the one who is the object of the erechin. So too, when it comes to the nedarim and other chiyuvim, says the Mishnah, Seg Yad, the determination of who is the one that gets off of the payment because of being poor, that goes entirely according to the one who made the erech. And the Gemara is going to question why in the world it uses the word banoder, since usually a noder is a reference to damim, and the din of a segiyat is a din in erech, and we're going to discuss that. Hashanim, the determination of what the age is that you pay according to by erechin, is a function of who the object of the neder was. Again, neder should not be the correct word. Ha'erachin, the sex of the person that defines the amount of the erach, that goes according to the ne'erach, the object of the erachin. The erach, however, the definition of the time, it goes according to the zman ha'erach, and not according to the time in which you're paying. So in other words, let's say somebody, as Marik himself or someone else who is less than 20 and becomes 20 years of age, nonetheless he pays a lesser amount, despite the fact that it would have, according to where he, when he's paying, it should have been the full 50 shekel. Let us explain, says the Mishnah. So let's see, an oni was ma'arich an ashir. So a poor man said, I'm going to pay the value of this very rich man. That makes absolutely no difference. He pays according to whatever he can afford, like any other ani. The ashir, on the other hand, who took as an object of his erechin a poor man, hoping that perhaps, since the man himself can't afford it, he won't have to pay it, rapidly discovers that he's going to pay the full amount, the erech ashir. However, when it comes to korbanot, then it's not the same. Because let's say there are korbanot that are also defined by the amount of money that you have. And that's the difference between an ani and ashir, for instance, in the case of a mitzorah. So suppose somebody says, Hare shamar korbanoshe mitzorah ze alai. And the mitzorah himself is an ani. There, even though the one who makes the neder is rich, he pays the shnei torim, or shnei b'nei yonah, and a keves, just as if he would be bringing the korban as an ani. So the birds, one is an oiler, one is a chatas, and then the osham is the keves. But if the mitzorah himself was rich and could afford three actual animals, then even though the one who is making the neder is poor, he's going to have to bring a korban ashir, where he has two kvasim, one for an oiler, one for an osham, and a kifsa, which is a feminine chatat. Rebbe Omer, Rebbe says, I don't understand what you're saying. Because if you analyze the situation, it's exactly the same as in the case of erechin. Because let us say, I mean, if we create a case of erechin that is similar to that of the korbanot of the mitzorah that you just defined, it will be exactly the same thing. Because v'chimipnei ma anish ha'arichat ha'ashir, why do we say that when the ani has committed himself to give the erechin of this rich man, he nonetheless pays the erech of an ani? That's because he is not taking over the chiyuv of the rich man. He's creating his own chiyuv. So that's because the ashir isn't chayev a dime. I mean, the ashir is not even involved. He's an object of assessment. So of course you go according to the one who made the neder. But in a case of Erechin, which is similar to Korbanot, let's say, an Ashir who says, Erki Alai, and an Ani hears and he says, well, I am going to be Chayev, whatever that guy is Chayev, his Erech, as he said it. So then it's exactly the same thing, because then that Ashir can afford to pay, and he pays the full 50 shekel. The Ani, who in this case is similar to the guy, was Mechayev himself to pay for the korban of a mitzvah, which is defined entirely by the guy who's going to be bringing the korban, namely the mitzvah himself. You want to take over his debt? Same thing is true over here. You want to take over this usher's debt, who was Marek himself, according to what he can afford. It would be exactly the same. So there, too, the ani would have to give the erech of an usher, and he wouldn't be able to get out of his neder by saying that he's poor. Ask the Gemara, but well, hold on a second. The phraseology of the opening of the Mishnah makes absolutely no sense. Haseg Yad, the Noder, has nothing to do with Noder. It has to do with the Ma'arich. We're talking about Erechin, and Noder, we're going to see, has to pay everything, even if Ein Yadom Maseget, the halach is that there's no din of Haseg Yad by a Neder. So why in the world would we use the one term that we ought to be using to contrast to the din of Erechin, and instead we use it as the word for Erechin? Answers the Gemara, the truth is that, of course, it's only a function of Erechin and not a din and a noder. The reason that the Mishnah uses the word noder is kidichtiv, it's because in the parsha of Haseg Yad, the Torah uses the word, the noder. It says, Asher tasig yad ha noder ya'arichenu hakohen. Okay, says the Gemara, but that doesn't explain why you then use the object of the Arachin as referring to him as a Nider. So, Hashanim b'Nider. I mean, this is a B'Nerach. That's true. But once we already had to use the word Haseg Yad bin Noder, because it says in the Pasuk, Asher Taseg Yad HaNoder, so therefore it uses also as the object of the Arach the equivalent word, as an object, which is the Nidar, so that we have the Noder and the Nidar, just like we have the Ma'arich and the Nerach, and it all comes down to not wanting to utilize a word which is a little bit out of place. Haseg Yad Banoder Ketzat. So he said, if an Oni is Ma'arich and Ashir, he pays the Erech of an Oni. Why is that? My time, the Omar Krah, because the Pasuk says, Al pi asher tasig yad ha noder, it says beferush, according to what the one who made the neder to pay the erech can afford. And that means the Torah is openly saying, binoder tala rachamana, it's entirely dependent on what he can afford, and has nothing to do with the object of the erechin. Aval bi korbanot enokin. Harei shamar korbanosha mitzorah ze alai, and the mitzorah was an ani, he brings a korban ani. And that sounds like it goes entirely according to what the status is of the person who's bringing the korban. Ask the Gemara, but is that really true? Do you bring a korban ani even though you, who committed yourself to bring the korban, the madir, is an ashir? I mean, it says ve'im dal hu. In terms of the korbanot, the one who's bringing the korban, who's allowed to bring the birds instead of the animals, is because if he is poor, but he is not poor. V'lo dalhu. Why, then, is he bringing the korbanot of an ani? Amrib Yitzchak, well, of course it means where he too is an ani. Well, first of all, says the Gemara, how do you know that that's true? I mean, once you're telling me that the im dalhu would have to be on the person who's bringing it, how do you know that the Torah is ready to let him off lightly? I mean, Dilma Lady Dechas Rachman. I understand that Mitzera, who is a poor man and fell into this tzarat, and now he has to bring a korban. The Torah is going to let him off with just bringing two Torim or two Bnei Onan instead of bringing animals. But how do you know Amadiro, the guy who commits himself, gets involved in this thing? Maybe the Torah is not going to be merachim on him. He didn't have tzarat. Nobody asked him to bring a korban. He want to volunteer, then pay. So maybe lo, maybe the Torah was not merachim on him. Because after all, it does say, the Ketiv, it says in the mitzorah ani. I mean, it says im dal hu. In other words, if he, the mitzorah, And that's the case over there. The Mitzurah is bringing the korban. If he is an ani, then he brings a korban ani. But how do you know if the Loder is an ani, that he would bring a korban ani? Omer of Adabarava, well, there's two different pturim in the pasuk. One is imdalhu, but then it goes on to say for no reason, ve'en yado maseket, and he can't afford it. Well, obviously, if he's living in poverty, he can't afford it. So why do you have to add ve'en yado maseket? That must be coming to tell me that even if the noder is an ani, he would bring korbanot ani. That must be what that's saying. Wait a minute. So in other words, you're saying that if the one who made the neder is an ani, then he brings an ani. But if he's an usher, he brings a korban usher. So that's exactly what we do for Hesegiat by Erechin. So what are you talking about? You said, Bekorbanot eno kain. But it's exactly kain, because we go according to the noder and not according to the neder. That's what we said by Erechin. Now you have me thoroughly confused. Answers the Gemara. Wait. There's two cases here. One of the cases, we're talking about two cases of a korbanot that the Mishnah is talking about. One is where the mitzorah is an ani, and the madir is an ani. Now, in that case, it's true that there's no difference between erechin and korbanot, and we go after the noder. So you're right, one of these cases, this case, where the mitzorah is an ani, and the madir is an ani, in that case, you're right, that it's the same as the Arachan. But there's another case here, and it's from that other case. That's where we're referring to by Korbanot Enokain. Because the other case is Haya Amitzora Ashir. That in that case, he Mizmevi Ashir. And that would be true even where the one who made the netter is an Oni, you see. So Chota, one of these cases is indeed coming to address the case, don't say Lama'ute, but rather Amitsura, is referring to a case of a Mitsura who is rich. Over there, even though the Madiro is Ani, nonetheless, he has to give a rich one. So there, I might have thought, look, once the Torah says, Eini Adom HaSeget, so then maybe Eino Chinami, it should go entirely according to him. Kamash Malan, that nonetheless, we don't say that. That indeed, in such a case, Kiritanya, it goes according, it should say, Kiritanya, it goes according to what it is that we learned here in the Braita. Lefisha Matzin, Uba Arachin. Since the Din by Arachin is that it goes entirely according to the one who's Ma'arich, so an Ani was Ma'arichata Ashir, Notain Arach Ani. You might think that this case of a Mitzorah, who is an Ashir, and the one person who said, I'm going to give his korban, and he's an Ani, it should be the same thing, we should go according to him, and he should pay the korban of an Ani. Talmud Lomar im dal hu, only if he is dal. And that indeed is b'korbanot eino kain. And that's exactly what the Mishnah needs to teach us, that b'korbanot eino kain. Then in a case where the Mitzorah is an Ashir, and where the Madir is an Ani, that there you cannot say that we should go from the Ein Yadom HaSeget. And that's specifically, the only time Chas Rachman Ale was where Lamaisa, the person himself, was the Mitzorah, would also be bringing an Ani. But in a case where the Mitzorah is an Asher, then even though he's an Ani, there's no way that he's going to get away with bringing Korban of an Ani. Says the Gemara, and what about according to Rebbe? Rebbe who says, well, the Rebbe de Omar, Omer ani af ba'arachin ken. It's no different. By arachin, it's precisely like that. So, alama batachiyuv, it's alma, sorry, batachiyuv de gavra aslina. So, in other words, you see, forget about Omar, we apparently therefore go according to the chiyuv of the individual. And completely. In other words, what Rebbe is saying, that by Erechin, you would go according to the one who was Mechayev himself. So if that's the case, if an Oni made a neder to bring the Korbanot of a Mitzorah Ashir, so there would be no place where we could learn that he brings a Korban Ani. We'd go entirely according to the Ashir. and he would bring korbanot ashir. And according to him, halot tzarech kralamute. I mean, then he's saying that basically, it's exactly the same. In other words, all you look at is what is the basis of the mitchayev. In the case of the korban, the mitchayev is an ashir, then he brings a korban ashir. In the case of the erechin, the mitchayev who made the erech is an usher, you'd go usher. If he's an ani, you'd go ani, and it's all the same. In which case, obviously, you don't need the who to tell me that it's different, because it isn't. So then, lo tzarech kralamute, there's no point in that who, that an ani who said, I'm going to bring the korbanot of an usher, brings an usher. Of course, we always go according to where the chiyuv comes from. Why wouldn't he? But if that's the case, what is the point of who, according to Rebbe? What's the imdal who, lamute mai? Ah. Says the Gemara, that's coming to be Mamayit, a case where the Mitzorah is an Oni. And the one who made the Neder is an Oshir. So there, he can't get away with bringing the Korbanot of an Oni. Because you might have thought, obviously, since according to Rebbe, we look at where it comes from, the Chiyuv. Okay, it comes from an Oni. So here too, it should come from an Oni. And therefore, he should bring the korbanot on him. Ashron, that who tells me that the one who's bringing the korban has to be a dal. But if the one who's bringing the korban is an asher, doesn't matter, even if he's bringing four and honey, he brings a korban asher. Says the next Taylor Commission, Haya ani, and suppose at the time that he was mechayev himself, he became rich afterwards, even though at the time he was Mechayev himself, he was an Ani. Or maybe vice versa. He was rich, and then he became more. And then he became poor. So over there, Noten Erech Ashir. He would be, in any event, always pay. If at one point he was Ashir, he would pay an Erech Ashir. Rabbi Yudelmer, if he was an Ani at the time that he was Mitchayev and became rich, and then he became poor, Noten Erech Ashir. Aval b'korbanot enokin. With korban, it wouldn't be this way. If he was an Ani, and he became rich before he brings the korban, or he was rich and becomes poor before he brings the korban, he brings korbanot according to the time that he is bringing them. And if he can afford to bring korbanot at that time that are of an usher, then he brings of an usher. An ani, who was mechayev to give his erech, and then his father dies and leaves him $1 million, miniach lo ribo. Or he had a ship that he had rented out, svinato, was bayam, and it's going to be bringing back profits of millions of dollars. That doesn't matter. Because ein lehegdesh baklum, hegdesh gets nothing out of this. Now we're going to see later on that what it's really talking about is his father didn't die yet, and that his svina has not as yet delivered any profit, and it's not in his hands right now. And that the Gemara will discuss, that on the surface, this part of the Mishnah doesn't really seem to make any sense. Says the Gemara, you said in the Mishnah if he was an ani at the time he made the neder, and then he became rich, that he pays according to what he can afford at the time. How do we know that? Because it says, Asher tasig yad ano der, whatever he manages to put together. And that's when he's paying. So if he's able to pay, so then he should pay the usher. Well then, so why in the other case where he's an usher and he became poor, why does he have to pay the erech of an usher? Because it says, al pi asher tasig yad hano der, doesn't it? So, in other words, it means that we go according to the time of the neder. So, as the Rabbi Gershon explains, it's the P that we're darshaning, not like Rashi, that we go according to the Piv shall know there, and the Piv that at the time of the neder was in fact an Ashir. Rabbi Yudamer, even if it was an Ani, and even if he pays an Ani, but in the middle he was an Asher, he still would pay the Erech of an Asher. Where did he get that from? My time with the Rebbe Yehuda. Well, says Rebbe Yehuda, look, the Pasuk says by the parsha of Heseg Yad, Imachu Mirkecha, Imachu, means that he has to be a mach all the way, because remember, who is an existential term determining his state of being, which means that he has to be the same the entire time. So that Imachu would be, he has to be mach from beginning to end, mitchilato vad sofo. Since in the middle he was an osher, therefore he's not included in a Heseg Yad. Ask the Gemara, if that's the case, elamiyata, you could say the same thing, v'im dalhu, that only if he is dal, ad sheba daluto, mitchila ve'atzofo. So the only time where he's able to pay as a dal is where he is existentially a dal. In other words, there's not a moment that he was an usher. Now you'll say, v'chitei mochinam, he said, well, that's exactly the case. If he was an usher at the beginning, he was an usher at the middle, he was an usher at the end. In none of these cases is he maybe a korban of an oni. He brings a korban of an asher. And this, of course, was referring to a mitzera, imdalu. The problem is, the Mishnah says otherwise. The Mishnah says, atzan, mitzorashi vi korbanotav. Mitzora brought some of his korbanot while he was an oni. Before he was able to bring the rest of his korbanot, he became an asher. Or vice versa. He brought some of the korbanot when he can afford it asher, and then he became poor. What defines what it is that he has to bring for the rest of them? Well, hakol olech achar chatat. If it was the chatat that he brought when he was rich, then he's got to bring his ola also from an animal, even though he's poor now. If he brought his chatat as a chatata of when he was an ani, he brings as an asher an olata of. So says Rabbi Shimon. Rabbi Yehuda Omer, no, hakol olech achar asham. If he brought an asham, ba'ashirut, then he brings a chatat and an olah from a behema, even though he's poor. And if he was poor and he brought an asham, he brings a chatat and an olah from an oaf, even though now he's rich. Whereas Rabbi Eliezer ben Yaakov Omer, hakol olech achar atziporim, forget it. It has nothing to do with any of the korbanot that he's bringing now at the end of the process. It's those two birds, his state at the time. If he was an usher when he brought the two birds to begin the process, one of which is shechted, the other one is dipped into the blood of the one that shechted, and then it's let go. And the deal over there is that if he was rich at that time, then he brings a chatas and an ela from an animal, even though he can't afford it. If he was poor at that time, he brings a chatas and ela from the birds, from the b'nei yonah. And even though he's rich. So you see from here that Rabbi Yehuda holds that if he brought his asham as an ani, even though he's rich afterwards, he brings korbanot ani. And we don't say that he has to be imdalhu mitchila v'atzov. Why? Isn't it the same who? Imachu and imdalhu? Says the Gemara. Well, we've already had that explained. Ha'itmar Allah, we learned that the difference is Omer v'yiromarav, that in this machloket, they all darsh in the same pasuk. Shloshtam, the three tana'im that we just had, whether we go according to the chatat, or we go according to the asham, or we go according to tziporim, they all learn it out from a pasuk. And therefore, it's gzirat hakatuf, and we can't apply the who to bidocha, what we learn from the pasuk. You cannot learn from there, however, to the din of arachin. Well, over there, the who really does mean mitchila v'atzof. So it says by the mitzora'ani, v'chiper ha-kohen ha-mitaher lifnei Hashem, zot torat asher bo nega atzorat, asher lo tasig yado b'taharatun. That's the pasuk. Now, Rabbi Shimon Sava, that since it says v'chiper ha-kohen, next to the words to asher lo tasig yado, so we learn that if lo isiga yado at the time, that the kiper hakohen, what is the kiper hakohen? The var hamichaper, which is the chatat, that's coming entirely from kapara, and therefore my new chatat, and that's what defines him as being an ani. Rabbi Yehuda Sovar, since it says ashelot asig yado b'taharato, mashma, that it's the thing that allows him to come into the Beit HaMikdash to start eating kochim. And what is that? That's his korban hasham, where we sprinkle the the dam on him and the oil on him. Reb Eliezer ben Yaakov Savar, since it says b'taharato, it means the thing that makes him tahor in the first place, and that is the tziporim, because before that he can't even shave to be able to bring his korbanot. Yes, the Gemara, if we do not learn from the korbanot mitzora, from the word hu, that he has to be dal mitchilav atzov, because of the gzerat hakatuv, which has three possible interpretations, what do we need that word hu for then? In the parsha of the mitzora im dalhu, hello hu lamali. We already said that, says the Gemara. We said it, l'Rebbe kidi itle, l'Rabbanan kidi itlehu. We already explained earlier, remember, that the question is, how do we understand the who in the idea of Mitzorah? According to Rebbe, he was b'mayit an Osher, who was noted to bring Mitzorah ani. He brings an Osher. And according to Rabbanan, their shita before was that it's b'mayit, that an ani that was noted to bring korbanot Mitzorah Asher, and he would have to bring korbanot Asher, despite the fact that it says, en yado maseget. Yes, the Gemara. So if that's the case, that you're darshaning who, in a way that means he has to existentially be who, that is to say, that there's a status that remains precisely the same throughout the entire story, so then when it comes to the parsha of Edut, where it says over there, v'hu eid, so it's referring over there to somebody who eid, or ra'ah, or yada, it says him lo yagid v'nasa avono. Are we saying, therefore, that he would have to be kosher mitchilava ad sofo from the time that he saw the act that he's reporting on as a witness, and until the actual edut itself. But if at any point in the middle he wasn't ra'ui, then he's not a kosher eid. Now, if you're trying to tell me, well, perhaps it means that. Problem is, u'tahatanya, haya yodei lo be'edut. Suppose somebody knew edut about a person, before he married that guy's daughter, and then he married his daughter. Or he, at the time that he saw the testimony, he was a normal individual, and then he was a pikeach, and then he lost his ability to hear and speak. Or he, perhaps, another case is, that he saw the edut at the time that he was a normal person in terms of his vision, and then he became blind. And a blind person is possible for Edut because it's Vura'ah. Or he was Ro'ed Edut at the time that he was Shafui. He had a normal mind. And then he went crazy, Nishtata. So there he's possible, obviously, because he, at the time that he's being made, he's not a kosher Ed. But if he knew the Edut before he became his son-in-law, and then the daughter died, and now he's back again and not being related. Or he was a hearing individual and speaking individual at the time that he saw, and then he lost it. And then he became, at the end, before he went into court, chazav and itpaker, he became a regular guy again who could speak. Or he was patuach, he could see, went blind for a while, and then once again he could see. Or he was normal, went insane, and now he's normal. And now he wants to come in and be made. Even though it says who, he's kosher. Despite the fact that in the middle he wasn't kosher. And, continues the Braita, Zeh klal, kol shetchilato v'safo b'kashrut. But that klal means that we only look at the time of the edut and at the time of the giving of the edut. And therefore, clearly we don't darshan who, the way that we're claiming it means here, that he has to be in that state from beginning to end, and even a temporary departure from it, would also mean that he can't bring a ani. Answers to the Gemara, that's true, but there's a reason for it. By edut, it says specifically in the Torah, Shaynei Hatam, over there it's different, because the Pasuk says, O Ra'ah, Im lo yagid v'nasa avona. So ra'a yagid. In other words, the pasuk is stressing the re'iyah and the haggadah. And therefore, b're'iyah v'haggadah, tala rachman amilta, the Torah is making entirely dependent on his status at the time of seeing the edut and his status at the time of saying the edut. And that, Vahaika, that we have. And therefore, we cannot claim that a change in the middle is going to make him possible. Ask the Gemara, but if that's the case, the who has no meaning in the din of the Edut, Vahu Eid. So who lamali there? Answers the Gemara, Vahu Eid is coming to teach me a din that is mentioned in the following bright. Look at Tanya. Suppose Ra'asi Asho b'nei Adam Omdim, Ve'edav b'neihem. He sees a group of people standing, and he knows that there are people that among them, somebody there knows what he has to have brought to court in order for the court to determine the case in his favor. And he says to them, now listen, you guys. Mashpieni aleichem im yodim atem li edut shetavo v'teiduni. I want you all to swear, if you know edut, then you're going to come into court. And if not, you swear that you don't know. And they say, amen. And they did not come. They weren't made. Which means that they had sworn falsely. And afterwards, they admit that it was a false shvua. So you might think in that case, they're chayav the korban for shvuata edut, which is this halacha of an aid that was nishba l'sheker, that he doesn't know edut. Talmud lomar, therefore it says, v'hu aid, that only if at the time of the shvua, the aid was defined, not that a person is not sure who the aid is, but he knows that someone in that group was an aid. And therefore, in that case, it would be potter, because Hare lo yiched et aidav, he did not make his defined aid take a shvua. Now, you might think that that means, afilo, if he would have said the language slightly differently, Amari said to the group, call me, Shebeinechem Shiyodei Ali, is to take a shvua, not on all of you. Talmud Lomar, therefore the Torah says, V'hu aid to tell me that if at the time of the shvua he was meyached, that it should only be an aid, then he was meyached eidav, because he said, I only want somebody who knows to take the shvua. And therefore they would be chayav korban. But anyway, the point of v'hu aid is here entirely different. It's not to make an existential comment about the continuity of his situation. It's rather to stress definition. The one and only the one, or ones, who know testimony.